This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Pella Rollscreen Foundation, Pleasantville Auto, Harold Trailer Sales, Marion County Rural Water, Marion County Public Health, Norm Rosendahl Tiling and Septic, and Marion County Auto Body. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Fire and Police, J. Olson State Farm Agency, Pleasantville Fire and Police Department, Hewitt Service Center, Pizza Hut, Raymaker Screen Printing, and Knoxville Raceway. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Knoxville Fire Department has recently moved from an all-volunteer system to a new model. What is it, and how does it work? In the 10th part of a 10-part in-depth series on our public safety volunteers, let's go in-depth with Jim Mitchell, Chief of the Knoxville Fire Department. So, Jim, did you start as a volunteer?
I did. Started as a volunteer back in 1984, I guess it was. I became a volunteer with the Knoxville Township Fire Department.
What made you decide to do that?
My dad was a volunteer firefighter for the city of Knoxville for a period of time, and he was, if I remember right, he may or may not have been on the fire department for the VA. He started out there as a security officer, a police officer, and then transferred in. But it's been my childhood dream.
And so over the years, you've seen lots of volunteers, haven't you?
A lot of volunteers, yeah, absolutely.
I'm guessing in your, you know, variety of roles over your career, hundreds, over a thousand volunteers, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely. We've kind of made this transition in the past 30 years, and we're not alone in this transition, but we've went from all volunteer to really what I call or define as a paid-on-call system. Our members receive some kind of stipend in one way or another for all the calls they go on. They're paid hourly. If they call in, for example, we send an ambulance out of town. We ask for a second crew. If they call in to be on second crew, assuring we have a crew for a 911 call, then they get a stipend for that. If they come to training, they get a stipend for that. So we've kind of moved out of that volunteerism and moved into more of a paid-on-call status, if you will.
Okay, so what kind of compensation are we talking about?
We pay our members, our EMTBs, Firefighter 1s, receive, I think we're up to like $13.39 an hour. Our Firefighter 1 paramedics receive, I believe it's $15.45. Give or take a few pennies. So that's not a bad part-time job. We have a lot of people that work shifts, and they get paid an hourly rate for that. So it's decent money.
It's decent money, but you might only be called in every other day or
right.
for a couple hours.
It's nothing that you can rely on as a full-time job. I mean, it's we have members, and with certain labor law requirements that have recently come to light, I can't work anybody over 30 hours a week. So that dampers one's ability to make more money. So yeah, there's some hurdles out there that keeps people from doing more of this than they can, federal requirements.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Marion County Fair Association, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, the Pleasantville Clinic, Lori Goff, and Melcher Dallas Schools. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. KnoxvilleFarmAndHome.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, 3M, Knoxville Farm and Home, Mercy One, Pleasantville Schools, Dan's Plumbing and Heating, McKay Insurance, and Brookwood Incorporated. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation with Jim Mitchell, chief of the Knoxville Fire Department. And so do you think this is a coming trend in rural fire departments?
I do. We have a number of volunteer services here in Marion County, and my hat's off to them. But I'll give you an example. Running what I call fire-based EMS service, we need to have people certified at both Firefighter 1 and EMT Basic at a minimum. Well, in order to do that, for you to come off the street and we accept you as a member, put you on board, I've got to get you trained in Firefighter 1 and take the certification test. Then from that point, you go to EMT Basic School and get that national certification. By the time you get those two certifications, 10 to 11 months has lapsed. And that's if all the stars align. That's if scheduling classes are scheduled so that you go from one certification program to the other. So in all reality, we don't get to use a new person to their fullest abilities until, 9, 10, 11 months. So that's a hurdle, and it's time-consuming. A lot of people don't have that kind of time. And my kids are way busier than I was as a kid. So parents are busy, and I don't know that they have time for a full-time job. And let's face it, full-time jobs aren't 40-hour-a-week jobs anymore. Full-time jobs are 50-plus hours, and coupled with activities that their children are involved in, it's tough to find more time for something like a volunteer fire department or paid-on-call fire department. So I do think, and I don't know how we get there, but I think that there will be more paid-on-call systems. I think there will be more staffed systems, staffed fire departments that they actually staff an ambulance or maybe even a fire engine. How we get there is a whole nother subject. State funding, and I'll give you an example with EMS. We do not tax. We cannot tax through property tax for EMS services. It's only for fire and rescue services, and rescue is not defined as EMS transport. So that's all. I guess we fund that. The Knoxville Fire Department funds it with our reimbursement from our ambulance fees, and. That's a struggle. There's no profit in that, if any. So I'm not sure how we get to that point, but I think if we want good fire and EMS service, I think the community's going to have to decide. And when I say community, I don't mean Knoxville, Iowa. I mean the nation as a whole is going to have to decide whether or not they're going to fund that.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by People's Bank, Cube's Garage, Tulip City Agency, Don's Heating and Cooling, Good Samaritan Society Indianola, Van Haften Racing, and Precision Pulley and Idler. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@caniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Golf Cars of Iowa, American Cleaning Services, Pella Regional Health Center, Two Rivers Cooperative, Central College, McGriff's Farm and Home of New Sharon, and Verduft Agency.
I continued my conversation with Jim Mitchell, chief of the Knoxville Fire Department. Did I just hear you say that our property taxes will pay for fire protection that'll defend our property, but not EMS services to protect our lives?
Correct. The state doesn't allow municipalities to tax for emergency medical services.
Does that seem strange to you?
It does seem strange. In fact, I think there's current legislature, if not soon to be proposed legislature, to address that very issue. And I haven't got a sense for where that legislation is or where it might go. But with the conservatism on the Hill, I have a feeling that that's probably going to go away. We'll see.
Well, and rural America has issues. This morning you've been very busy, and you just had to dispatch somebody, somebody was just dispatched out of Knoxville to Tracy. Tracy is what, 18 miles away, something like that?
Yeah, approximately.
And so to get there, I mean, it takes some time.
Especially on a snowy day where the roads aren't in the best of conditions.
You know, I bet big city folks wouldn't take that. They wouldn't allow for that.
Yeah, there's a whole different expectation, I can tell you. Coming from the Des Moines metro area, that there is a different expectation. And there may be more revenue available in the metro where people don't have time to volunteer, as we've discussed, especially in the metro, but they're sure willing to spend the money on it. And I think that's the difference. I use the term willing loosely. Maybe a more appropriate word would be ability. They have the ability to throw money at the situation. And I don't know that we have those abilities in rural Iowa like they do in the metropolitan areas.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Marion County Bank, Lancer Home Service, Vanderbeek Truck Accessories, West End Auto, Dr. Kurt Vanderplu, U.S. Bank, and DMB Supply. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Culver's Appella, George Daly Auditorium, Krakus Law Office, Boats Home Furnishings, Windmill Mall Antiques and Collectibles, and Jeremy Dingham and Concrete.
I continued my conversation with Jim Mitchell, chief of the Knoxville Fire Department. There's differing expectations, and I would guess that people in the metro don't know that. And I bet there are people listening that live in our communities that don't know the structure, that how many volunteers that we have. I bet that they don't know.
Yeah, and if they don't, shame on me, and shame on the rest of the fire chiefs in Marion County, because that's our responsibility to educate the community and let the community know what services are available to them. I do think that that educational piece is probably missing, and for multiple reasons. One may be because we're so busy running calls that we don't have the time to reach out and share that information.
Now, you've had, I think this is a busier morning than normal. It's about 11 o'clock when we're doing this interview. How many calls have you had already today?
I think since 4 o'clock we've had
Five
calls for service.
And so how many people have been working those five calls?
We've had we had two ambulances on the road at one time, so that was two people per ambulance plus myself. So we had five people work all those runs.
And so let's say at least a couple of those were heart attacks, right?
Correct.
So you need to be there quick.
Yes, absolutely. Time is of the essence.
And so do you have the staff that you need to be able to, let's say we have three heart attacks at once?
That's tough. That's a tough go. We struggle staffing a second ambulance on certain days. On other days, we might be able to staff all three ambulances at one time. But it's a real hit and miss. And when you ask people to volunteer their time or to be on standby, if you will, you really can't expect the whole department just to be sitting by their radio at home waiting for a call to come in. There's other things to do, like a full-time job, like kids' activities, other civic groups, other churches. And I think volunteerism's down across the nation, not just in the fire service, but in many different organizations. I think just volunteerism, period, is down. When I first moved to town, I was approached by the Little League. And I was heavily involved in Little League in Urbandale and coached and helped with the board in different tournaments. they wanted me to help out here. My boys aren't in Little League anymore. And so, as I explained, that I don't have anybody in Little League, their response was, we know, we just need help. So I get it. I mean, it's not just the fire department. It's Little League. It's church groups. It's Kiwanis. It's JCs. It's all those organizations that are trying to make a difference. They struggle to because there's just not enough people.
So I presume that the Knoxville Fire Department could use a few more folks. Is that right?
We could. In fact, this last Monday at the council meeting, the council approved to allow me to put on four more people. Before the council meeting, before I could get additional names on the docket, on the agenda, I have two more people that are interested in serving on our fire department. So that's a total of six. It's good and it's good. It's all good. Some of it's very good. Some of it's just good. And the reason I say that is three out of those six live here in town. So the other three will serve well working shifts. However, when it comes time to respond to fires, respond to a second out call or a third out call, they're not going to be of any use because they don't live here.
So you need more folks in town.
I need folks that live here in town. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so what do? They just give you a call? Or
call the station. Our number's 641-828-0586. I have an email address that is firechief@knoxvilleia.gov. Feel free to email me. We'll certainly entertain all applications. And the other, we talked about the time commitment. This is a pretty strenuous job, both fire and EMS. Obviously, with fire, we put people in places that's immediately dangerous to life and health. And that can be true on the EMS side of things, too, as well as we do a lot of lifting on EMS, and you find yourself in some pretty precarious places, like upside down in a ditch in a car. There's some physical challenges. You got to be fit. You got to be somewhat strong, and you got to have that passion, that drive to help, to jump in there and give it your go.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I don't want to leave this interview with folks not knowing how much we appreciate what the community does do for us, and they do a lot for us. We have a lot of community support. When we've had fundraisers, people have come out of the woodwork and helped us with those fundraisers. So we appreciate our community, and our goal is to provide the best product that we can to the community. And again, I'll offer my phone number and my email address. If anyone has any concerns about our service, please let me know, because our goal is to get better and better all the time.
Thanks to Jim Mitchell for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.